What is up? Well, Cross World Podcast. Starting now, I'm your host as always, Tanner Dimling. Well, Cross Bucket. Check out lacrossebucketblog.com for all your latest lacrosse news and content. A lot to get to today on this podcast. A ton of news in the professional game, in the MLL, some NLL stuff. Coming up, we'll go over that as well. Overall, a lot of lacrosse news going on. And, you know, last year this time, I don't remember this much news going on in the lacrosse world. But there's quite a bit of it. We're going to kick off the show today here with the MLL. The MLL, as you know, noted to it on my last podcast on Monday, Tuesday. By the way, I'm recording this on Wednesday, so if I miss Wednesday afternoon, so if I miss anything in here, that happened, you know, Wednesday night, that's why. Or if you listen to this Thursday, which most of you should be, it'll be coming out Thursday. If you listen to this Thursday like afternoon, miss some stuff, that's why. All right, MLL. We have a ton of signings here. I know I went over a couple on Monday. I went over Matt Abbott and then the MLL changes. I'm just going to go over all these signings. I'm not really going to go in depth into these as much as I would if there was just a couple, because there are so many. So, going back to what happened on Monday afternoon, Chesapeake signed midfielder Nick Manis. Good signing there for him, for the Bayhawks, 2-year deal. Denver signed face-off specialist Max Adler to a 2-year deal. Very, very good for Denver. Max Adler did not play a lot for Denver last year. He only played in a couple games, I think it was. I believe he was acquired. It might be somebody else I'm thinking of. But Max Adler, fantastic last year for them. Especially in that championship game, he was the X factor there. Mikey Slosher also signing a 1-year deal with the Denver Outlaws. And then we have Outlaws defenseman Finn Sullivan signed a 1-year deal as well. So the Outlaws, and that's one thing, you know, the Outlaws, they won the MLL championship last year, 2018, just, you know, not even a month ago. And they, you know, they've been racking up some very, very good offseason signings, re-signing guys. We have yet to see in the entire league, I believe we have yet to see someone sign somewhere where they didn't, they weren't currently playing. Now, that's kind of because of the current ownership structure, which I hope they redo over the next couple of years. And I think we're kind of moving towards that. It's very good. You know, a lot of these signings coming after the moves made on Monday, which were monumental for the MLL. We also, Boston and Florida announced signings on Monday as well. The Cannons re-signed goalie Nick Morocco. He didn't play a whole lot for them last year. But, you know, he did, when he got in, he got decent time, and, he played very well for the Cannons. When he did get in, he signed a 3-year deal. The Launch have signed, veteran Martin, Bowles to a 1-year deal. You know, he had just 3 games last year, 1 goal, 2 ground balls. Apologies if I pronounced the name wrong. I've no idea how to pronounce his name right. Bowes. Apologies there. The Launch also sign goalie Shane Doss. So he had a rookie year last year with the launch. He didn't see much playing time. Actually, he didn't see any time in a game yet. The Notre Dame product. In Dallas, we have a few signings as well, as they have re-signed Ryan McNamara and Brian Quilmendy. Midfielder, attackman, Ryan McNamara. Extension set with Dallas. I don't think they specified how many years it was, but they said an extension. So I assume that's a one-year deal, or 2 years. He was drafted by the Rattlers in 2017, back when they were in Rochester. Really been a key figure there for the Rattlers. Both in, he really stepped it up this past season at his second year there. So good to see him back with the Rattlers. And then midfielder Brian Quilmendy signed a contract extension. He was picked up by Dallas last year in the 2018 supplemental draft. Had a pretty good season with Charlotte in 2017, and then continued to improve last year in 2018 with Dallas. The launch also signed defenseman P.T. Ricci. So this will be the veteran's 10th season there, Ricci's 10th season, after being drafted with the Bayhawks in 2009. He's been with the launch. 2019 will be his fifth year with the launch. He played in 10 games, 23 ground balls, 9 caused turnovers last year. Also, we have some guys signing, some more launch signings, as well as Charlotte. So, the Florida launch signed Ben Williams, faceoff specialist there. His first season with the launch, 2018, played with the Bayhawks as a rookie in 2017. One of the best young guys at the faceoff dot thus far through 2 seasons. Good to see him back, as well as Jake Withers, who didn't get to play a whole lot last year in the MLL with the Charlotte Hounds. The Hounds, their season seemed like they had a bye week that last week, so their season really ended short, I felt like, and I think a lot of people felt that as well. The season kind of ended earlier than anybody else. Jake Withers was still with the Rochester Nighthawks in the NLL Finals, as the NLL Finals ran long this year due to some arena scheduling conflicts. He got traded from Atlanta to Charlotte before he even stepped foot on the field in the MLL this season. When he got in, he was good for them. I think he only played 1 or 2 games for Charlotte this year. Also, Matt Gilvey has signed a 2-year deal to stay in Denver. This comes after his rookie year with the defenseman. He played in 4 games and 2 caused turnovers. Also, Matt Abbott has re-signed with Chesapeake, and the Boston Cannons have re-signed Zed Williams and Will Sands. All 3 of these guys have been fantastic for their respective teams. Very, very good to see these guys back with their teams. Now, Matt Abbott, veteran there in Chesapeake, he's been there since 2009 when they drafted him. He's dominated the field. Seemed to really step up his play last year. Boston, they re-signed Will Sands, who's a rookie. His season ended early last year due to injury. He should be back out in full force in 2019. Zed Williams, this was his first year with Boston after playing 2017 in Rochester with the former Rochester Rattlers, now Dallas Rattlers. In his rookie season, as they drafted him, he was kind of a fan favorite this year in Boston. Really, really brought out the best in that offense. Really, in the worst of worst of times, worst of scenarios up there in Boston this year. And then Denver signed defenseman Eric Ogobre to a one-year deal. 2015, Ithaca grad, played his first year in the MLL season, in the MLL this past season. We've also had a few signings as of late, and by late, I mean like this morning. So, Scott Hooper, defenseman, re-signs with Charlotte. Big time signing there. Scott Hooper, very, very good defenseman, staying with Charlotte. We would also see Adam Osika stay with the Hounds as well. Very good day for the Hounds. Chesapeake would also see, we'd also see Isaiah Davis Allen, the midfielder, another Maryland Terp, staying in Chesapeake, staying in Maryland, as he is re-signed with Chesapeake as well. Should have another good year there. Bryce Wasserman, Ryan Keenan, and Sean Lawton all have signed extensions with the Ohio Machine. Very good for that franchise, for those guys there. And then also, Greg Whale, I believe that's how you pronounce the name, and Tim Barber have both signed deals with the Florida Launch for two-year extensions. The big one here, and I say this really is the big one here, Mark Cockerton has agreed to a two-year deal with Boston, and this is huge here, guys. Mark Cockerton was traded to Boston from Ohio, you know, kind of early to mid-season, and he really shined in Boston, had a fantastic first year there with the Cannons as they're trying to rebuild that franchise back into the greatness that they were, you know, almost a decade ago now. You know, I think really this, I mean, really, you could see the downfall of the Cannons coming from when they traded Rabel. And then when they traded, you know, they had Will Manny, and then when they traded him, and they've just fallen so far. Mark Cockerton, very good guy to rebuild that franchise, along with the young guys, Zed Williams and Will Sands. So, some big-time signings there, a lot of signings there. I expect more to come out during the time that I'm recording this podcast, so won't get those in here. And, you know, we know there will be more to, you know, Thursday morning, perhaps Wednesday night, Wednesday evening. There's also some NLL signings I want to get to here. Kieran McArdle has signed, re-signed with Toronto. You know, Kieran McArdle, one of those guys that he's not on the level of Tommy Schreiber yet, but I think he can get there. He's had a successful 2 years in the NLL since he first stepped in the box for the first time. So it really should be a year of improvement this year. He had 39 points, 18 goals, 21 assists last season with The Rock. Then also James Fahey, another MLL guy, stepping in the box for one of the first times. He played in the Boston Box Lacrosse League, which, you know, yeah, that's a good experience there. But the NLL, again, is a different level. We good to see if he can adjust to the NLL like some of these other American guys have that haven't had much box experience, if any, at all. Also, the Toronto Rock, this went out this morning. Plus up. They have signed unrestricted free agent defenseman Creighton Reed, re-signing him to a one-year contract. He is coming back to The Rock. You know, he was there. Left a little bit. Now he is back in Toronto with The Rock. A lot of signings there in the MLL as well as the NLL. It's that time of year. NLL free agency still kind of in full swing. Still haven't heard from Curtis Dixon. I suspect we will soon. Hopefully before or after the draft. I thought we might after the Man Cup, which ended last week with the Peterborough Lakers winning. But we have not yet to hear from Curtis Dixon. We've heard from Aaron Bold. He's going to Vancouver. And now MLL player movement, which is basically free agency, has started. And you know, the way the MLL does free agency is honestly, I feel it's better this year. We're seeing a lot more multi-year deals and that sort of thing this year, which I think is nice to see. And I think that comes with the salary cap. And the salary cap increase 51%, and also with the whole investing of the players thing, which is part of that 51% salary cap increase is part of that. I feel like all this is just going to make the league better, and in the long run, I think we will see a full-fledged free agency in the MLL sooner or later. Now, some NLL things that I also wanted to talk about. The draft and the announcement of the Vancouver franchise new name. So, I'm going to talk about the franchise name first, and then we'll go into the draft. We'll look at Steven Sam's mock draft from Inside Lacrosse. We're looking at his top five there. I'll link that down in the description, in the show notes as well. The Vancouver Canucks purchased the Vancouver Stealth over the summer. Was a big purchase there in the NLL. Great to see another NHL owner. Now, we heard very quickly from them that they would not be playing in Langley Event Center. They would be playing in Rogers Arena. Then we also heard coaching movements, a couple big signings that have included Aaron Bold. We have yet to hear a team name, but that will be announced on September 21st, which is, when is that? That is Friday. Believe it is Friday. It is Friday. It has been confirmed by multiple people. It will be the Vancouver Warriors. I heard two names last weekend, the Warriors and the Riot, and it looks like it's going to be the Warriors. So, how I feel about that name, I don't mind it. I don't necessarily like the Golden State Warriors, but that's different. I think, really, I want to see the logo. I want to see the logo, and I want to see the jerseys and all that. And then I'll kind of give my take on it once I see that. I don't know what colors they're going to be. If they're red and black, I'm fine with it. I could also see them going, like, purple, maybe. No, Vancouver's, there's been multiple names in Vancouver. There were the Ravens at one point, and then they were the Washington Stealth, and then the Vancouver Stealth. So yeah, the Warriors is what is being confirmed by multiple people of in and around the NLL. That will be the new Vancouver team name. I like it. I just want to see the jerseys and the logo before I can kind of judge what I think of that. Now, moving to the NLL draft, that will be next Tuesday. We are less than a week away. We're actually 6 days out from the NLL draft in Philadelphia at Xfinity Live. Should be a very exciting draft night, as it always is. Welcoming in the next line of superstars into the league. Now, going over Steven Stamps' mock draft on InsideLacrosse.com. As I said, I will link that down below. Now, I'm just going to go over the top five here. And then I'm going to pick out about two guys that stand out to me that are below the top five. And we'll go from there. So, I'm going to go down from five. I'm going to go five up. So, going backwards here. Top five. So, at number five, Steven Stamp has Connor Robinson, a lefty forward out of the Langley Thunder and High Point. Connor Robinson, very, very good. good player, box and field as well. Seen him play both. Really like this pick here. This pick, should have said who the pick was first. Saskatchewan Rush they got this pick from Toronto through the Adam Jones trade. And, obviously who the Rush would take here. Just Connor Robinson, fifth to Saskatchewan is what Steven Stamp has there. Like that pick there. And then he has Matt Gilvey, right transition player from the Peterborough Lakers and from Bucknell. Now, watching the MSL this year, he wasn't a guy that really stood out a ton this year. But still think he can be a good player in this league. Good pick for there. Good pick there for Buffalo. Buffalo also has the third pick. They got this one from Vancouver through the Willie Smith trade. And Ian McKay, I love this pick here. Ian McKay, a lefty transition player out of Six Nations Chiefs in Vermont, played in the NCAA at Vermont. Fantastic player. I've watched him, obviously, being here in the States, I've watched him in the NCAA for his entire time at Vermont. He has taken a couple summers off of box through some injuries. He got injured. He didn't play at all his junior year at Vermont due to a knee injury. So, last year he looked perfectly fine. He still hasn't played some box in a couple summers, but should be a good asset there for the Buffalo Bandits. At number two, Philadelphia Wings, Chris Kluche, the lefty forward out of the Coburg Kodiaks, and then North Carolina. He also plays in the MLL for the Denver Outlaws and was the MLL Rookie of the Year. Chris Kluche, fantastic player. I've seen him play box and field. Again, fantastic player. He's got the body. He's got the size. Many compare him to John Grant Jr. I don't know if he's going to be as good as Jr. was, but He certainly has the build and he has the skill set to do that. Now, at number one, the San Diego Seals, they have the first pick here in 2019. I think, you know, all these other ones pretty much, you know, you could kind of say they may not be that pick. Number one, I think we all know who it's going to be. Austin Stotts, lefty forward out of Six Nations, Eros, and Onondaga Community College. He is into the draft to forego his college eligibility. Again, love seeing that. No matter how much money it is, if you have an opportunity to play professional sports over college athletics, you take professional 9 times out of 10. These kids deserve to get paid, and he's getting paid. No matter how much money it is, you're getting paid. Austin Stotts, fantastic player. He's a generational talent. He's a generational player. He's going to come in here, and really, this is a great pick for San Diego. Patrick Merrill, I think, will do a fantastic job of turning him into a superstar under that coaching staff. And, fantastic here for Austin Stotts and for San Diego. He can really set that San Diego franchise off on a good foot there. So that's Steven Sam's top five picks. Going over a couple guys that are outside the top five that I really like. I'm starting here with number eight. Number eight, he has Connor Fields, lefty forward out of the Oakville Rock in Albany, going to the Georgia Swarm. This is he's an American guy. He really started in box, unlike a lot of people here in the States. Fantastic skill set on the field, in the box. He did suffer a knee injury. He actually played on a torn ACL for 2 seasons, which is fantastic. Fantastic that he was able to do that. The toughness of this guy, they always say he's a kid from Buffalo, he's Buffalo tough. That rings true in the way he plays and his grittiness, his skill set, just fantastic. I think even with that knee injury, I think he could possibly go higher, but I do understand him going eight there. Georgia needs somebody there at that forward position after losing some guys in the expansion draft. Connor Fields. He had surgery on his knee. He's rehabbing right now. I think it's a six month recovery, they said. So he should be back for, I believe, February, March area is where it kind of looks right now. There's some speculation, if you will, just take the entire year off to rehab that, since he did play on it for nearly 2 years, for 2 years at Albany with a torn ACL, PCL. Then also at number 10, going to San Diego, this pick was from Rochester via Saskatchewan in the Brett Mistyke trade. Connor Kiernan, righty forward out of the Brooklyn Redmen and out of Canisius. And this is a kid, watching this kid in the NCAA last year, this kid is fantastic. You can tell his box. You can tell his box skill set on the field as well. Really fantastic player, outstanding player. Tight spaces everywhere. You can tell this guy. This guy's game is fit for the NLL. I really think he can be very highly successful in the NLL, not only his rookie year, but moving forward as well. Some of the guys I just wanted to point out here. At number six, he is going to the Calgary Roughnecks. Shane Simpson out of the Six Nations Chiefs in North Carolina. Very good there. Brendan Bomberry He's a righty transition player slash forward. Six Nations Chiefs in Syracuse, Brendan Bomberry. You know, another Bomberry there. Fantastic player. Really should have a good career in the NLL. Now, it's time to talk some college lacrosse. We have had a lot of fall schedule announcements come out recently. And I'm just going to go over the not just Division I, but the fall ball schedule that I know of right now. I will link this post down in the description as well, crossbucketblog.com. Just search in the search bar, fall ball schedule should pop right up as the first thing there. So, Saturday, September 22nd, which is the Saturday at Ellicottville High School, St. Bonaventure will take on John Carroll, I believe the D3 school, D2, D3 school. And then we don't have any scrimmages until September 30th. That September 30th date, we'll see a scrimmage. Cleveland State versus Seton Hill, who's a D2 school. And then at 3 p.m., Binghamton will take on Marist. That's at Binghamton. And then October 5th. 6th and 7th, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of that week, that first week of October. We have Colgate versus Siena on October 5th, Colgate versus Siena. Then at 6:30 p.m., St. Bonaventure versus Team Israel, October 6th, the Saturday. The big one, Yale versus Team USA in Sparks, Maryland, which will be at U.S. Lacrosse HQ. And then Villanova versus Loyola. That will be in Baltimore. Sunday, October 7th, the Ohio Machine hosts their second annual Fall Classic. This will be including teams such as the Ohio Machine, Ohio State, and then Division III Capital, and Denison, and Division II Wheeling Jesuit. So at 9:30 a.m., Capital will face on Wheeling Jesuit. 10:30 a.m., Denison versus Wheeling Jesuit. At noon, the Ohio Machine versus Ohio State. At 2 p.m., Ohio State versus Denison. 3 p.m., Denison versus Capital. There's also a fall ball event in Canton, Ohio that weekend. 2 p.m., St. Bonaventure will take on Lake Erie College. And then at 4 p.m., St. Bonaventure will take on Seton Hill. I believe we'll see a Lake Erie versus Seton Hill game at 3 p.m. as well. It's speculation that if all three of those teams are there, usually everybody plays each other. Friday, October 12th, we'll see Hampton take on Potomac State. NJCAA, they actually played each other last year, Hampton, in the regular season. Hampton got the win there. Saturday, October 13th, Yale takes on Notre Dame. There's also a fall ball event at Albany. We don't know the full schedule yet, but we do know it will include Albany, Hopkins, Army, and Vermont. I don't think Albany and Vermont will play each other because they're in conference. I saw some people say, like, that would be weird to play to scrimmage a conference opponent. I don't really understand that, but okay. Then we also, on Saturday, October 13th, we have there's a Headstrong event at Hofstra. Airfields will play Bucknell, and then Lehigh versus Siena at 2 p.m., and Lehigh and Bryant at 3:30 p.m. Could be some other games there. Those are just the ones that I know of so far. Sunday, October 14th, we have 2 p.m., St. Bonaventure at Mercyhurst, and then Michigan and Denver, Cornell and Maryland, and then Davis and Elkins versus Potomac State, JUCO school again. Saturday, October 20th, we get our first look at the Utah Utes, Utah versus UMBC in Sparks, Maryland at US Lacrosse HQ. Then we have Wilmington versus Mount St. Joseph's, two D3 schools there. Jacksonville, Rollins, and Lynn will play in a fall ball event. The location there is not known. I believe it will be at Lynn, though, or Jacksonville is what I've heard. Then there's a fall ball event at Cleveland State. Cleveland State will take on Lake Erie, and Binghamton will take on Lake Erie as well. I believe we may see a Cleveland State-Binghamton matchup there. I have not heard of that yet. So I didn't want to go ahead and put that in there. Fall ball event at Boys Latin High School, which is in Baltimore. We'll see Towson, Richmond, and Navy. It's in that one. October 21st, we will see the St. Louis Fall Ball Classic, which will include Boston U versus Michigan and Lindenwood versus Maryville. Also, Wheeling Jesuit will play Potomac State and JCAA school again there. We'll battle for West Virginia, well, not battle for West Virginia, but little in-state West Virginia matchup. Philadelphia Headstrong event that will be in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia at Penn, 9 a.m. Still October 21st here. 9 a.m. Delaware versus Syracuse. 11 a.m. Delaware versus Lafayette. 1:30 p.m. Colgate Robert Morris. 3:30 p.m. Colgate Drexel. Have not heard any other games on that. Then there's the Eddie Combs Fall Ball Tournament hosted by Marist. That will include Marist, Merrimack, and Springfield. They also have a girls' side on there as well. Saturday, October 27th at 4 p.m., Holy Cross versus Hartford. And the Stony Brook Fall Ball Tournament will include Stony Brook, Providence, and Monmouth. 10 a.m., Stony Brook versus Providence at 12 p.m., Providence versus Monmouth, 2 p.m., Stony Brook versus Monmouth. On Sunday, November 11th, there's a Rollins, Tampa, and Mercer fall ball event. That is at Rollins, which is in down in Orlando, or just outside of Orlando, Florida. Whew. That is all the fall ball news that I have for you all at this moment. Should be some other ones coming out soon. If not, I've already come out, but I've missed it. Apologies there. Okay. On to the CUFLA Week 3 preview here. So, CUFLA, I'm just going to go through the schedule and then what the standings look like at the moment. All right. The schedule here. We will see week 3. So I'm going to go over the standings first here. In the standings in the East, we have McGill sitting atop at 4-0. Queens at 2-2 in second. And Bishops at 2-2. I guess they're tied for second there. And then we have Trent at 1-0. Ottawa at 1-2. And Nipissing 1-1. And Carleton 0-4. Still looking for a win. In the West Division, we have Brock 2-0, Guelph 2-1, Toronto 1-0, Laurier 1-2, Western 1-0, Laurentian 1-3, and McMaster 0-2. Looking ahead to the week three, first game week three is actually, if you listen to this on Thursday, which should be putting this out Thursday, Ottawa, McGill, September 20th, Thursday, then Friday. Laurentian versus McMaster, Western at Brock, Laurentian at McMaster is Friday. Then Saturday, we got a lot of games, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, Weston at Brock, Bishops at Nipissing, Laurier at Toronto, Queens at Ottawa. And then on Sunday, we have Bishops at Carleton, Weston at Toronto, and Trent at Nipissing. That's the schedule, what it's looking like for week three in the CUFLA. Some games to circle here. You know, looking at the standings, looking at the schedule here. You know, and from what I've seen from teams that I've been able to watch, some games are streamed, some games are not. You know, McGill, they're sitting atop right now, top the league. So any game they play in, I'd circle, as well as Brock. Western also, because, you know, defending champions, they looked fantastic last weekend. So, you know, that Western Brock game on Friday is definitely the big one to circle there. As well as, you know, Queens and Ottawa. Should be a good game there as well. Two teams kind of sitting in, I guess you could call it, the middle of the pack right now in the East. Then also, you know, interesting thing. You know, Laurentian, they didn't really have a good season. As good of a season last year as they would have hoped. They started off the year strong with a big win, but have since taken three losses. Toronto also plays their second game of the year against Laurier this weekend as well. Should be interesting to see what happens there. They also play Western on Sunday. Should be an interesting one there as well. That will do it for today's edition of the Lacrosse the World podcast. It was a lot of news across the professional landscape, as well as college, both in the States and up in Canada. Again, thank you all for listening. For more content on lacrosse, go check out lacrossebucketblog.com. You can find me on Twitter at Tanner_Demling. You can find the main account, lacrosse at lacrossebucket. Again, thank you all for listening, and we will be back soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.